Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone, 6:37 the time. The Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
De Niro!
Thank you. Thank you, Bert. Let's bring in Jimmy Himes. He's brought to you by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. You can call him 615-758-8886 or online.
Who's raking in some De Niro, by the way?
Oh, Jimmy rakes in De Niro all the time. What's going on this morning?
I don't know, man. We need to test Jimmy, man. Make sure he's not doing something illegal to get to that level of De Niro.
What, like steroids or stealing signs or anything like that? Some, no. Jimmy does everything on the up and up. That's one thing I know about Jimmy. That was after Santiago Viscovi made a three the other night, the call of Bert Bertelkamp on the Vol Network. How impressed have you been with the way this guy's progressed? And, you know, Jimmy, when he first started playing a few weeks ago, he was throwing the ball all over the place and a lot of turnovers. He's even seemed to clean some of that up and cut it down. And Tennessee really played well against Arkansas the other night.
Well, they did. And that was a surprisingly easy win for Tennessee against Arkansas. I thought that would go down to the wire. Mm-hmm. But Viscovi was outstanding, 20 points and 8 rebounds. He hit several threes. The thing about him, he's a very clever player. He's a nice ball handler, even though I know he's had some turnovers, but you can see him do some neat things with it. I think the speed of the game overwhelmed him. And remember, this is a guy that was, he comes in at midterm. He arrives on campus at December 28th. And he had not been playing against the level of competition. He didn't have a chance to go against some of Tennessee's easier non-conference opponents before he was thrust into SEC action. But this guy's really good. And as one of his teammates said, if he sets his feet on a three, he's going to make the majority of those. And I just think as he has acclimated himself to the college game, he's gotten better and better. He's a nice player who was very instrumental in helping Tennessee beat Arkansas.
Jimmy, the Vols play South Carolina tomorrow. They have a lot of games left against good teams. Can they win enough to put themselves in position to maybe get a tournament bid? I mean, I know they kind of have to run the table, but can they get themselves at least close?
Well, yeah, they could get close. I don't think they're going to make it, but you got Kentucky, you got twice against Auburn, you got Florida coming up a couple of times. That's a lot of good teams that you got to get past, and I don't know that I think Tennessee's up to the challenge. I remember when Tennessee had 10 games left, a lot of people said, well, they're only going to win one more game, and that's going to be against Vanderbilt. And I argued, no, they'll win more than that. I don't know if it'll be many more than one. But they have the potential to beat some of these teams. I don't like their chances against Kentucky or Auburn. But Florida's not been any world beater, so they have an opportunity to do that. They have to play a really clean game. They have to limit their turnovers, which they certainly did against Arkansas, and they've got to shoot well, got to shoot really well to get past those teams.
Jimmy Himes, our guest from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
Well, Jimmy, I don't know how you feel, but it seems like Bowden is kind of slowly coming to form here. What are your thoughts on the way he's played besides just second half? So he's kind of starting to play a little bit better in the first half.
Well, they've really needed that. I think there were a couple things that happened to him around the time of him going into the slump. First off, when Lamonte Turner hung it up for his career at Tennessee, I think Bowden felt more pressure, although Rick Barnes said they tried to relieve him of that. The second thing is he lost his grandmother at about that same time. He was very close to her. And I think that led to a slump. Now, he's flirted with coming out of it, then he'd go back into it, then he'd come back out of it. But I think right now he's played pretty good basketball. And he can help Tennessee win in other ways other than just scoring. Obviously, they need him to score some, no doubt about that. But he is a good defensive player when he gets locked in. He can also rebound, and they certainly need that because they don't have a lot of tall folks up there that can rebound. So I think he is playing good basketball right now, and now the challenge is for him to be consistently good.
Mm. Where is James in his health here? Is he going to be able to be available here sooner than later, you think?
Yeah, that's... Josiah James, it's kind of hard to tell. He suffered, now before the year it was a hip injury, now he suffered a groin injury. Mm-mm. And the indication was right after that, oh, he'll be ready to go. Well, he hasn't been. So I think this injury's been a little bit more significant than Tennessee first thought. And so I'm not sure when he's going to come back. I know that Rick Barnes keeps saying day to day, which could be any game now, but it's really hard to pinpoint when he might return. I guess he could come back for South Carolina, but I have not seen indications that he will.
Mm. Well, on to football, and naturally, there's been a lot of turnover for Pruitt's staff, not just this season, but his first two seasons. What are your thoughts on the turnover? That's just something that's expected, I guess.
I'm surprised. I don't think they expected this much turnover. I mean, they've lost what, four position coaches now. That's a lot. And I know that sometimes coaches will tell you that change can be good. Also, change can lead to chemistry breaking up a little bit. It can also lead to not always being on the same page right away. It might take a while. We interviewed Philip Fulmer not long ago, and he said that he thought one of the keys to his success in Tennessee was to have consistency on his staff, because he had guys for a long time. He had David Cutts, and for a long time he had John Chavis and Dan Brooks and some of those guys. And he thought that was big. And all of a sudden, boom, they're losing assistant coaches, four of them. And I don't know all the reasons why. I mean, I know where they went, but I'm not sure if they were encouraged to go or not. But I think that's going to be tough to replace them. I thought the staff did a really good job last year, and I'll be curious to see if they can come back and coach them as well as they did a year ago.
You getting Johnny Major's flashbacks here with the big staff changes?
Yeah, he used to have a bunch of them, didn't he? You watch a guy go to the NFL and you think, well, okay. But in a couple of cases, you wonder, did he really want to go to the NFL, or did he just feel like he wasn't a good fit here? I don't know. Tracy Rocker going to South Carolina, that's a lateral move. I thought Rocker did a really good job. Now, the knock on him was he wasn't a great recruiter. But if you look at what that defensive line did, and I thought they were undermanned or not that talented, they did a heck of a job last year. So can they repeat that? Can Jimmy Brumbaugh come in and do as good a coaching job as Rocker did? I don't know. I think that raises some question marks about this team.
Quickly, I just got to ask you this. Is it more important in college to be a great recruiter or developing your players? Because you just brought that point up literally, and I don't know the answer to that.
Well, the easy answer is both.
right.
I would probably say the great recruiter. And I hesitate in saying that because, gosh, when we looked at the Super Bowl, somebody recently told me there were 14 players in the Super Bowl that were two star or lower in the Super Bowl. That tells you player development, right?
Yes.
But then you also look at some of the talents out there, like a Patrick Mahomes, and you say, we might coach that guy. So I would say probably recruiting, you'd like to have something to work with. They're saying it's hard to make, well, I won't go there. That's a bad term.
Does it involve chicken salad?
Chicken salad out of chicken, manure. How's that?
This looks like a good spot for a break, Jimmy.
Yeah, I agree.
We get it, though.
Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML joining us here on the Wake Up Zone. More of Jimmy coming up in just a moment on the Zone.
The Vols are back. Before long, we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we play's ass. Thank you very much.
104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. And our Friday morning visit with our man Jimmy Himes is brought to you by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Call them 615-758-8886 or online at thgtn.com.
Jimmy, a lot is already written about what the quarterback race is going to look like this spring. And do you think some people are underestimating Garantano? And I say that, he's going to have better infrastructure. He's going to have the best offensive line he's ever had around him. Do you think that he might end up being the number one quarterback for most or all of the 2020 season, perhaps, because this is the best cast they've ever put around him?
Mark, you might. The concern to me is the receivers. I don't think they'll be a good wide receiver or tight end by losing Callaway, by losing Jennings, by losing Dominic Wood Anderson. So I think that would hurt him or any quarterback a little bit. I do think they have some pretty good young talent wide receiver, but it's unproven. Can he trust those guys the way he trusted Jennings, the way he trusted Callaway, to be where they were supposed to be able to jump up and make those 50-50 type catches on fade routes? So I do agree that he's got a very good offense, the best offensive line Tennessee's had in many, many years. I think they're fine at running back, led by Gray and Chandler and Jordan. But the thing about Garantano is his inconsistency, not just throughout the season, but even during the course of a game. I mean, he looked horrible against Indiana for 3.5 quarters. In the last 7 minutes, he played pretty well. He had a great game 2018 against Auburn. He had a great game against Missouri this past year where he threw over 400 yards. Then against Vanderbilt, he was awful. So it's that inconsistency, regardless of the supporting cast, that is a concern. Can he gain that? Now, the one thing that Pruitt kept saying is that Garantano in practice clearly outplayed everybody else. So is he better in practice? Is he more consistently good in practice than he is in a game? I don't know the answer to that. I do know this. If Tennessee doesn't upgrade its quarterback play, then they're not going to get to that next level. And so, to me, I think 7 or 8 wins is what they're looking at next year, and I don't see any more unless they get a lot better play out of that position.
What position group do you think Pruitt is most concerned about right now?
I'd say probably the wide receivers because of the unprovenness of it. You should not be concerned about your offensive line, right? Shouldn't be concerned about your defensive line. You got 2 really good linebackers coming back from a year ago. Now, yeah, you got to replace Petulli and Taylor. I get that. But I think you're going to be okay there. In the secondary, you've got a lot of talent, a lot of good young players. So I think you're going to be fine there. I think it's having Ramel Keaton come through. I like Josh Palmer. Brandon Johnson redshirted last year, but was it 3 years ago? He led the team in receiving. So he's a guy that has the ability. But I think you're counting on some young guys to come through and for Brandon Johnson to come through. So I'm going to say wide receiver.
And you add, and we've talked about this a little bit, next year you add everything else in, plus the burden of expectation. I think Vols fans, you know, gave Pruitt, you know, a pass up to here, understanding the situation he inherited, but expectations are going to rise because of the great finish they had last year. And I think we both know that the target year by most people covering the Vols, watching the Vols, is 2021. How interesting is that going to make 2020?
Well, it's going to make it really interesting because people are, you won 8. Okay, so now can you get past 8? It may take a bowl game to get you there. Because right now, to be frank with you, I'd have a hard time picking Tennessee to beat Georgia, Florida, Alabama, or Oklahoma. So that puts you at 8-4, unless you can upset one of those. And then if you get a bowl win, you're at 9. But I think that the fans are looking for the part. And here's the thing, too. Look, I understand how unreasonable fans are, but if you're competitive against Georgia and Alabama and Florida, you go down to the wire and you push them and you finally show that you're capable of going toe-to-toe with them because they haven't done that in some of the recent years, not against all 3 of them in the same year, I think that would give you hope that you're about to turn the corner. The other thing that would give you hope, and this will be interesting to see how it plays out, if Harrison Bailey wins the job, and looked and plays like the 5-star quarterback he's now rated, that really gives you hope going forward that you're about to turn the corner.
Jimmy, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
He is Jimmy Himes, and you can hear him every Monday and Friday here on the Wake Up Zone, brought to you by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. All right, this is the Wake Up Zone. We are powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. When we come back, the deal and demo all just ahead here on the Zone. Hang around.